Hey, what do you know? It's a cowboy version of me.
Well, let me tell you about a man that I have met. Hey, they call him Captain, a wizard, don't forget.
A wizard.
CJ Morgan's his name, and he wanted to start a show. So we did. Now you're listening to him on that dang old radio.
It happened. The eclipse came and went. I don't want to talk too much about the eclipse right now because I have a shocking revelation that happened in my own personal life. But I did think a lot this weekend about the eclipse. And I remember that, Matt, you brought in some good stories for our segment Weird or Wired, where people had some pretty crazy conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And I was like, aha, those are so wacky that, you know, nothing can come out of it. But we had guests in town, and they're like, yeah, my mom heard on the news that there might be terrorist attacks and this, this, and that. And yesterday I tweeted, I was like, I bet all y'all feel pretty silly that nothing happened.
Y'all don't think the terrorists wanted to watch the eclipse too? Or?
I think, absolutely. I didn't call the vet to set an appointment until after the eclipse passed, because you got to let me, hey, terrorists are people as well.
Yeah, deep down, yeah.
Anyhow, the more I've thought about it, and I'm trying to be joking, it makes me mad, because some of these people that Matt talked about, or even like the news agencies, which I get what they're doing. They're just being the one, if it bleeds, it leads. It gets people listening and excited. But the people that firmly and really promote this stuff, why are there no repercussions? Nothing happened. There was no apocalypse. There were no terror attacks. Like, why are they not getting their heads lopped off? Why is Robespierre not coming for them?
We talked about this on the morning show recently, and I think you would respond well to this, that if you make any kind of prognostication, if you want to come out publicly and say there's going to be poison balloons released during the eclipse, you have to put money down on it. I think you have to have some kind of loss, because right now, we don't charge anybody anything to be wrong in the new economy.
No, we don't.
It cost you either your dignity or your reputation, and you went away. We don't have that anymore.
Well, what's one of the things I've noticed is with a lot of like QAnon, similar far-right conspiracy theories, they'll go back and they'll say, oh, well, because we talked about it so much, that's what kept it from happening. We stopped it from happening. It's like, no, it was never going to happen in the first place. But it just bothers me that there's no consequences for these.
By the way,
and there should be.
The poison balloon thing came from a guy who said that the government was under the cloak of darkness was going to release all these poison balloons to kill off a bunch of humans. Here's my question. Why couldn't the government just do that at night? Any night of the week. Any night of the week if we're looking for darkness.
We wouldn't all be outside.
Well, doesn't it just sound easier to poison like our water like source or something? You know, balloons cost a lot, I would imagine.
They do poison our water with fluoride.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they poison your brain with 5G, dude.
Speaking of fluoride, there's been a lot of chemtrail conspiracies again, and I love that people are going retro with some of the good. It's been so long since I've heard a good chemtrail one. I want to use the R word when I hear people talk about chemtrails and other stuff. It frustrates me, and we've even had, I don't know if you've watched the documentary yet, but there was finally what I thought was kind of good. There was finally punitive action for dangerous conspiracy theorists when Alex Jones, who I don't know if anyone told the court, has gold buried in dripping springs, when he lost a couple of big lawsuits because of some of the Sandy Hook conspiracy stuff. Mm-hmm. And now you have that same lawyer, by the way, is suing Elon Musk because he promoted a conspiracy theory that some kid graduating college in California was a plant in a neo-Nazi protest or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember the whole thing, but I do remember that kid being harassed, and the kid was never near any of that stuff.
Yeah, they basically said he was an agent provocateur, which, yes, those agent provocateurs do exist. It's been proven. Like, the CIA and FBI did some pretty messed up stuff from the late 60s to the 80s with COINTELPRO and Chaos. I'm not saying these things aren't real. I'm saying when you come up with dumb ass conspiracies that tie in with the real ones that involve poison balloons floating during an eclipse because they wanted to do it under the cover of darkness. Like, It just... It makes all the dangerous bad stuff the government is doing worse. And you know what is poison?
You're saying it's like crying wolf?
Yes. And you know what's a real chemtrail? You know what is really poisonous? Jet fuel itself burning, even though it can't melt steel beams. But the actual planes flying are more dangerous than anything else.
Who do you think would have to actually blow up all those poison balloons?
How mad would the government be if they released them and there was too much like hydrogen content, so they just kept floating up?
Oh no!
And then just got caught in the jet stream and never popped. But also balloons! You're not going to spray poison in balloons.
No.
It's frustrating. But I've started doing a thing. There's one particular. He's a senator from like Iowa. Maybe not Iowa, but anyhow, a couple years ago, he tweeted that United States under Biden, we are about to run out of diesel. There will not be enough diesel, blah, blah, blah. And right. So what I'll do is I'll save tweets, I'll email it to myself, and I'll put the subject of what they were talking about. Right. I also do this with friends that were COVID conspiracy theorists from Amarillo.
It is fun to tweet back at them on the date later.
Regularly.
And go, hey,
I do it regularly.
I still got diesel at my station. What's going on?
Hey, I'm still having milk. But again, I'm going to wrap this up because I get too hyped about conspiracy theory stuff. There are fake, weird, dumb conspiracy theories. And then what they do is they cover up things that are weird and real. Did you know? There's still a shortage on baby formula. Like, I'm not saying this is a government conspiracy, but there's still a big problem.
But we still do
with getting formula. Like, why aren't we looking into that?
Because you don't like some conspiracies. I mean, you do love birds aren't real, don't you?
But that was started as a prank no matter what. Like, only really dumb people that believe that.
No.
Really dumb people believe flat Earth, but also flat Earth has become real. It was started as real. I don't know. The point is George Soros is paying me to say this, and I'm going to keep cashing that check. And if you think, oh, he's just a libtard, no. The Koch brothers are paying me as well. Today is the greatest because yesterday was the greatest day ever. We talked about a few of the reasons that make today the greatest, but you know what?
What?
Today's the greatest because yesterday had the greatest day.
Really?
Let me explain why, gentlemen.
I'm leaning in and listening.
I got to do so many things on Eclipse Day. Number one, I had the day off. Thank you, Spencer, for making sure the listeners here were entertained.
Yeah, good. I hope they enjoyed it.
They did, so I could enjoy myself.
Yeah.
And again, By yesterday being the greatest day, today's a great day because it puts me in a good mood. But I got to do so many amazing things. I got to start a fire.
Oh, cool.
I got to watch the eclipse.
Cool. Where did you start? This was a controlled fire, right?
Backyard, yeah.
This is so you. Like, why'd you have a great day? I set something on fire.
But not
I destroyed something.
I got to go to the Lego store and play with Lego.
Wow.
Okay.
I got to grill and cook food. I got to do some gardening and go to Lowe's.
Okay.
But you know what makes all this better? I got to do it in front of other people.
Oh, is that? Oh, so people were watching you do all this.
We had guests at our house, and I got to do all the fun, entertaining things.
You like being spied on, is that
what you're
saying?
I even mowed the yard, and our friends that stayed with us have two little girls, and they were like, hey, can we build a fort in the living room? And I've been asking my girlfriend, my fiance, I'm like, we should build a blanket fort together and just watch a movie. And she's like, no, we're not going to do that. Well, I got to assist two little kids building a blanket fort.
That's good. It probably made up for whatever other horrific, goofy things you did in front of their kids that scared them and also upset your fiance.
I'm going to be honest, I was pretty good.
Really?
Because there were three kids at our house at one point and they were dive bombing the hammock. And there's a pole underneath that I made him put a pillow over. But I was like, hey, y'all got to... I had the moment where I didn't hype them up. Like often before kids go to bed, I'll be like, hey, do y'all want to have ice cream and I'll pull you in a wagon? And then my girlfriend's like, dude, you can't do that.
It's 10 o'clock at night.
It's bedtime. But I realized I was outside starting the grill, or not the charcoal grill. I was about to cook us some fajitas. And one of the little girls was out there just talking my head off about stuff. And she goes, man, today's the greatest. And I thought to myself, you know what it is? It is the greatest. On top of that, I convinced our friends who came. came in town from Houston to stay all weekend with us. I convinced him to stay the night one more night.
Oh,
like,
cool.
It was like having a friend sleep over, and you had to, because they all had to work. They got up at 4 this morning.
So you're saying yesterday was the greatest because you got every single thing that you wanted?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'll defend and, that. I mean, that does make it a great day.
And you're on top of that, it was one of those special days because there was like an eclipse happening. So you had this like unique, weird moment. And I feel there's something special about these friends when they come in town.
That adds to the memory, I guess. You're always going to remember this day.
Yeah, exactly. And these particular friends, the last time they came and stayed with us in Austin was the day, the week before Snowpocalypse.
Okay.
Where you had the good snow, where you could build snowmen and stuff like that. And they ended up staying another night because it snowed. And it just really brought back that little kid thing where we're doing all this fun stuff. And I was like, y'all should stay one more night. It's going to rain. And like, I don't know, should we? And I'm like, yeah, y'all should stay one more night. I'll even, I'll get up and I'll help y'all pack tomorrow, which I did. I got up at 4 a.m.
Good. Man of your word. I like it.
Absolutely. Because I was so excited. I convinced him to stay one more night. It was the greatest day.
What did y'all use the fire for? You just sat around it, or
we had a campfire.
He threw the kids into it.
Now y'all want to stay. Woo!
Taught the kids how to make s'mores.
Oh, see, that's what I was actually
realized. Kids are good at lying to me because they would come up and they would be like, "JoJo wants another s'more," and I'd be like, "Okay, make one." And then I looked at JoJo, who's the youngest kid, like 3 years old, and she had a plate full of. She had both dogs around her, a plate full of like 7 s'mores that she wasn't eating because she didn't want them. It's just the other two girls wanted to burn marshmallows and make s'mores. And the other funny thing about that is we would get all the s'mores ready, and then I kept looking. I was like, all right, put it down on the chocolate. And then all the chocolate would be gone because the girls, before they put their marshmallows and cooked them, they were sneaking the chocolate away.
Or you stole the girls' chocolate?
Column A, column B there. Okay. But hey, today's the greatest because I got to be a kid again. That's why.
30, 30, 30. That equals 0.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
It's Matt Bearden. It's the Parent Pickup, and we're here to do some math.
You guys familiar with Fit Talk?
I guess it's TikTok about being in shape.
There you go. You nailed it. Wow. Didn't take you long to figure it out. Dozens of different diets. There's workouts. There's all kinds of supplements claiming to make you a better, faster, stronger human being. One of the big, giant obsessions that's going on, I guess over the last, let's call it 5 to 6 weeks, is something called the 30-30-30 rule. Been seeing more and more articles written about it. I thought it would go away. Hasn't gone away. And I thought I would talk about it. Basically, here's the 30-30 rule. They're saying that as long as you eat 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up in the morning and do 30 minutes of low-intensity exercise, well, then you are basically on the road to being super healthy and enjoying your life.
All right. I love it. It's on TikTok, so a lot of people are seeing and talking about it now.
It's easy to remember.
What's the truth and science behind it?
I don't care about the truth, and I don't care about the science either. What I do care about is
what are you,
that,
Fox News?
Well, I'm reading it, and it's saying, like, hey, here's a great way to be a better parent. What parent has time in the morning to eat 30 grams of protein?
Right.
And then to do 30 minutes of any kind of exercise.
Well, some people aren't that hungry yet. It takes them like an hour to start feeling hungry.
I cannot eat breakfast, and I like that you said hungry because that's the word I would use too. How much is 30 grams of protein? Don't make like weird jokes, but I just realist, like show me a portion. Like what?
I know. I think it's like a full chicken breast. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Okay. That's not.
Maybe,
that's a lot.
Maybe you could do like a. Like a specialty smoothie or something.
Take the chicken breast, grind it in a blender with Alfredo sauce, Parmesan, and breadcrumbs, and make my own.
Well, here's what's, the part of it I don't get is whose family, where they have kids that have to get out the door and parents have to get to work, Who's got a household where anyone has time to do 30 minutes of low-intensity exercise? Just screaming at my child to find their shoes, does that count as low-intensity?
Chasing them up and downstairs, maybe.
Maybe high-intensity, because you're getting upset.
Who has the time in the morning even to make breakfast? I mean, breakfast is generally what? Some bizarre thing that's eaten out of your hand while you're driving feverishly down the road because you always leave the house late. The reason I even brought this up is
I'll tell you who
you
does.
You guys are single, right? And you don't have kids in the house. You all have to be at work, and I'm not judging you. It's a great thing. You guys don't have to be at work until what time? 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Whenever we want, kind of.
Okay. Do you guys get up and do 30 minutes of low intensity exercise?
No, I'm still.
Daily.
I only have dogs and like have to take out the trash, and I'm always still late.
I'll do exactly one sit up to get out of bed. You know, it's low intensity, but it's not 30 minutes.
Well, there's this whole kind of we see this huge rise in the popularity of these morning routines, and I'm just wondering. Does anyone have the time to do a quote-unquote morning routine who isn't an influencer?
I'm going to tell you, that's exactly the only person are influencer TikTok blogger mommies because they've got a husband that works in tech and makes a lot of money. They don't have a real job at home. They're just running like an online boutique and they only have one kid. So yeah, they have all the time in the world.
I don't know who has time to sit in a cold tub. I don't know who has time to sit in a sauna.
Right.
I don't know who has time to make a tonic in the morning. I don't understand any of this. And I don't know if I'm just doing parenting terribly wrong or what have you. But and I'm not even one that does the morning parenting. My wife does the majority of it because I have to be here at the studio before 6 a.m.
And even that's still exhausting. Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned cold plunge. We got to get on that one day. I don't get why we are spending $6,000 to buy what is essentially a bathtub that's portable.
Yeah.
When you already have a bathtub,
just throw some ice up in there.
Anyhow,
I know that there's science behind all this stuff, and
there
I understand
is?
It. And it is there have been multiple researchers who have shown. But when I say science behind it, the improvements, I wonder sometimes, is there really improvement, or is it the same thing like when you buy a ticket to a concert you really want to go to? Can you afford to say to yourself, "Man, it was mid"? You have to almost say, "Oh my God, it was incredible.
It was great."
Or you would have to admit to yourself, "I wasted $200 last night." So I almost feel like if you've woken up every morning and sat in ice water, you have to tell yourself
it has to work, and you have to tell everyone else it works.
Or you're admitting, "My God, somehow I've been sitting in this cold water, and I don't think I'm getting jacked."
Sports time. Our friend Sawyer Stoll's here. I want to start with your very special sporting event.
Yes.
That you had this weekend. It looked like a lot of fun. You guys all do a little putt-putt tourney.
Yes. It's an event I've been running with my friend Nick Severino. This was the fourth one. It's our fourth annual mini Masters event we host every year to kind of get people excited about the Masters coming up. Because
you even have a green sweat jacket.
Yes, whoever gets the best low score across all 36 holes gets a green Adidas jacket.
Now, 36 holes, usually people play that over a course of like 3 days. How do you guys get it done in one day?
Oh, it takes about 3 hours.
How do you play 36 holes of golf in 3 hours?
Oh, it's miniature golf.
It's putt-putt. These are my two favorite things about what Sawyer and his group of friends have done is, one, they all dress up real preppy. And, you know, it's all these, like, young punk-looking dudes with tattoos everywhere. I mean, our friend Zach, who won, just tattoo in every part of his body. But they're all dressed up preppy. And they go out there and they play. And my other favorite thing is y'all go to Peter Pan Putt-Putt and y'all haven't organized anything with them. Y'all just show up.
Yeah,
and y'all show up early and kind of take over.
Well,
I love it.
We were fair this year. It actually worked out perfectly. We had about 14 competitors, 14, 15 competitors. So we divided into two groups, East and West. And the pace of play worked out perfect where we were on 9 on West when someone was on 9 on East. So, and then we would separate, let the first three go to hole two and all that.
Did y'all get in any trouble?
No, we did get a lot of really upset looks from families because the other award we give out is the Golden High Life. And that goes to whoever drank the most alcohol at the BYOB.
Because it's BYOB, which I've learned. I stopped going to Peter Pan Putt-Putt pretty young because I realized it was just where a bunch of Westlake and Austin High teens go to sneak pineapple vodka and drink. And
it's a great place to make some money.
Yeah. The problem is when I go, I'm competitive and I actually want to play putt-putt.
Hey, okay.
And I want to win.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to play next year.
We'd love to have you. But yeah, so we decided finally there's so many people, you couldn't keep track of who drank can quantity. So Zach Brooks did a favor, a breathalyzer to Peter Pan Putt-Putt, and a lot of parents are very upset as we were blowing into the breathalyzer in the front of it, yelling, .16, .16.
He favored a breath? How could you can favor a breathalyzer you can, somewhere?
Sure. CVS is a hell of a thing.
You can get anything. I love it. Let's come back and talk our sports bets, because when you gave us the bets last week, when we were off air, you said, all right, that should be really good for the listeners. We just did women's basketball and NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? Both turned out fun and fine. Hang around. We're going to have the results coming up. Funny man and sports hoster Sawyer Stahl here with us on 102.7 ESPN.
Is that Kenny Albert?
That's just my sports radio voice. You know, I got to say, sports guys are the worst, but you're pretty cool, man. Dude, I'm sorry. It is. They are the... It is the most annoying brand of radio.
What do you hate about them?
They're just so annoying.
Okay.
Anyhow.
A little dash of personality in there.
And fake voices. But we do our own...
Well, that's what I'm saying I bring to the table.
You do. Do they call you funny, man?
So they try. Okay. A lot of the listeners call in and tell me I'm not. But hey, if they want to buy a ticket to see me at Cap City Comedy on March 2nd,
I'll prove them wrong.
Wait,
you said March 2nd.
Yep, we're going back through time.
May 2nd. That's what's fascinating about it. Give us the results of our sports bet. Let us know who won out of Matt and I, and let's also talk our big dartboard bracket. But first, Sawyer, give it to us.
All right. So you fellas did both say that Iowa would beat UConn. I took the other side. I was completely wrong. I was right in the fact that Iowa would not win a national championship, but y'all were both right, so you both hit. So that's a point for each of y'all.
The strange thing was is that I thought the Disney thing was going to mean that Iowa had to win the whole thing. And you were like, no way they're beating UConn. Not only do they win, but then somehow they fall apart.
Dude, and not just that, like... I don't want to be an ass because Caitlin Clark has done a lot for women's basketball. Yes. Like, she's made it super popular. And everyone's like, she could probably beat most men. And the thing is, she can't even win a championship. Her last 5 minutes of the game were like two fouls, two turnovers, and two missed shots.
I know. That's what happens when you run into a complete team.
Yeah. I was looking at their bench, and I think they had someone play 3 minutes and 1 minute.
0 points off that Iowa bench.
Yeah.
Dude,
imagine this,
though.
And here's Nick from sports.
You mentioned Caitlin Clark. I'm going to show up because I hashtag support women. Imagine if Caitlin Clark was 7'4" like Zach Edey.
I know. Yep.
I don't know what you just said, but...
Unstoppable.
But well, we both got
who played for Purdue last night. He's a big giant guy, 7'4".
Not registering anything.
Yeah. He kind of
looks like he eats sheet metal.
Yeah, he looks like he could play a character on the Munsters or something like that.
You know how there's the Happy Gilmore 2 is going to come out? He should play the kid of that construction worker that you think hates Happy, but then he's like... He was also like Jaws and James Bond.
What was that actor's name?
Oh, yeah. Guns don't kill people. I do.
Yeah. He could play that guy's kid. That's what I think of when I imagine him. Also, the longest yard.
All right. See, look at that. We made women's basketball fun, just like Caitlin Clark has.
By talking about basketball.
Even though she couldn't win the ring. All right.
Hey, at least you're not talking about how she looks good in makeup.
I haven't seen it. Listen,
I'm just immediately sexualize the women.
Well, I will because there's a player on Texas that I have a crush on, and there's a player on LSU I have a crush on. And what crushes me even more is like they're 6'2". They're taller than me. So
just to remind you, we do have a time limit, and we haven't found out who's getting ready to beat who.
Very true. All right, Sawyer, what's up next? NASCAR.
No, that's going to have to be our tiebreaker because CJ, you actually won in the Silver Boot Series. I thought y'all would be here on Monday. Apparently, the eclipse gave some folks a day off. We wanted to know who would be winning in the series between the Astros and the Rangers.
The eclipse didn't give people... You ask work. You say, hey, can I take a day off? And you file paperwork. you goddamn baby martyrs and not taking day. You know you are allotted a certain amount of days a year.
Hey,
and
if
you don't use them, it's your fault.
It's a quick reminder, we are on a time crunch here. We need to figure out who won.
Oh, yeah, who won?
All right, you won that one. The Rangers were up 2-1 going into yesterday's game. Astros did tie it, but you are ahead 2-1 right now. And in the final one, I wanted to know who was going to win the Martinsville Cookout 400. The options were between a Ford, a Chevy, and a Toyota. Matt, you took the Toyota. CJ, you took the Chevy.
You took the Ford.
And I took the Ford. And, in fact, Chevy took first, second, and third place, all from the same team.
So I get 3 points.
So you get 3 points.
All right. Matt is going to get his sweet, tiny honey buns punished once again. You know what else is fun? We threw darts at our bracket, and Matt had three teams in the final four. Basically, the way the points worked out is I would have to have UConn win it all to even have a chance to win. No. And we'd bet $100 on Thursday.
Very first dart throw, my very first hit was UConn, and that is the only one in there.
That's keeping you in.
The only thing keeping me alive.
My head above
water.
Yeah,
we bet $100 on that.
We did?
Yeah, don't you remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Yeah, you're just saying that because you have a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
Bet $100 on that. We did? Yeah, don't you remember? Yes, I do.
UConn won. I get $100.
Except only by him changing on Friday, changing the point structure.
Well, but even after I'd done that, I was like, remember, Matt, we bet $100 on this. And he's like, all right, yeah, fine. We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so you owe me $100.
I still counted it up. We did a point per win, and I won.
1 point, 3 point, 5 point, 9 points. You don't do a point per win in brackets. It gets increasing. The further your team goes, the more points you get. We all know that, Matt.
I can't pay attention.
It's also written up there. Anyhow, Matt owes me $100, and he's getting punished. We've talked way too long about sports. And Seth, how are you guys feeling? Beauty is pain. But are things that are supposed to be fun, is it supposed to also be frustrating and difficult? And angering. That's what happened to me going to Sherwood Forest Fair this week, and that's what happened with the Ren Fair.
I'm disappointed. I wanted you to have a really good time. I'll get out of your way and I'll listen. I just know that there's just so much armor.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Involved in you going.
Not just that, but we were taking friends and they had two little kids, and it became a mess because I was thinking of Matt's. Two people were in my head, this stupid weekend thing. One was, it was kind of the I told you so's of Matt right. Bearden and my fiance, who, you know what, I'm just going to say my lover because I'm tired of saying partner,
which
girlfriend.
Which one of us is your lover, though? To be honest with you, I think that the reason your fiance and I get along so well is that we're the same person in your life.
Yes, very much so. And that's why I get along with your wife, because we're kind of both the same person.
In my life, I agree.
Anyhow, the thing that was in my head for Matt was when one time I invited him for dinner and I decided to make burn-ins for the first time ever, which did include smoking meat in a smoker I've never used for 8 hours. Long story short, I was late and Matt was like, yeah, that's why you never try something for the first time.
Sure.
I tried wearing new armor for the first time at this. It was also the hottest day of the year. And a couple of, like, guys I know that run and work at Sherwood Forest Fair were like, oh, yeah, that's why, you know, we do the night stuff early on and then the Viking kilt stuff later. Because when you wear all that armor, you're supposed to wear stuff underneath, like a gamison, is what it's called. And it's a thick wool padded
right.
thing. And
to protect your skin from the armor,
yes,
right?
And so that's what the armor ties to. Attaches to.
You're saying you raw dogged or commandoed your armor?
Yes. Very much so.
No clothes underneath.
Well, I was worried about how hot it was going to be.
Well, you don't wear all the... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I shouldn't have worn it. I have little pieces.
Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah. I have little pieces of stuff, and it's made of wool. It's thick, but one goes around my neck. I don't have a full thing. But I didn't wear that. I was like, oh, this will actually work. So I did have, like, a loose-fitting, you know, one of those kind of piratey black shirts, and I wore jeans underneath.
Okay, but did you think that your bear furry, like, chested bag would maybe help out?
It wasn't bear, because I did have shirts. I did have jeans and a shirt.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, is I had that, but that's not the thick padded stuff. And I would have, especially since I don't drink anymore, the heat's not as oppressive. So I should have worn all the stuff, because, guys, I want to show you. My bruising.
What's that feel? Really? Oh, my God, whoa, dude. What is that?
It's like you actually went into combat.
Dude, did you fall off a horse? Did you go jousting?
I pretty much feel like I did because I wore all the stupid metal armor. And later this week, and yesterday, I was looking at a picture of myself with my fiance, and I just had this weird realization. I think I was on mushrooms, too, and I was like, I guess it is kind of weird that I have a full suit of armor. That's not something many people do. And she's like, yeah.
Wait, you had that revelation because of the mushrooms?
Yeah, yesterday. I just thought of that.
How long did it take you to have that? At least you're wearing it out to, like, the Ren Faire.
Right.
You're like, not just holding it at home or wearing it to, you know, Denny's
or
something.
Well, I did take a mannequin from work and put it in the garage. So when I'm not wearing it, it's on that.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Dude, I not only was I getting frustrated, I started obsessing over getting stuff right at the house. And we have kids. We have people that are waiting to go. We get there. I'm in so much pain. We parked the furthest we've ever parked. We have to walk so far. We get there. I take all of it off, like a lot of it, on a picnic bench. And I'm pulling things to stretch it out and bending the metal. So they're all walking around. I say, go have fun. I'll catch up. I spend 40 minutes. Getting redressed and getting things right. I don't have the under padding to tie the leather to, so I'm tying it to different things.
You didn't have a squire to help you.
I didn't have a squire, and I didn't want them to help either because they have kids. I meet up with everyone. We walk around again, and Lisa's like, oh, CJ likes it when people take pictures of him because a lot of people did want to stop and take pictures. And I'm like, actually, no, I'm not. I know everyone thinks that I'm the big attention pick me person, but it kind of makes me really uncomfortable when I'm singled out for that, and I don't want the Sherwood Forest Fair people getting mad that, like, oh, this guy's not a performer. He's going around acting like he is. Plus, again, I had to stop at a picnic bench and take all my stuff off and spend another 30 minutes before I caught up with everyone. And at some point, I was like, oh, the little girls, they're 5 and 3. They're going to want to bail. They didn't want to bail. They wanted to stay and walk and see everything, and I'm walking in this clunky stuff, and I get in the car, and I'm taking it off, and finally, they drive off, they're in a different car, and I'm behind mine, and I throw my little pity party temper tantrum, and that's right when my lover gets out of the car, and is like, hey, are you okay, and I just wanted that moment to have it to myself, the admission of failure, the admission, like, this was dumb to do all this, and of course, she saw it. And then finally, later that night when we get home, she saw the bruises on my body, my temper tantrum. She's like, you know, you don't have to dress up and all that every time you go. And I was like, I know, but what else am I going to use it for? And it was just like this slow building I told you so that was in my head all week long. And now I have to go home and clean it all. You know that, right?
Oh,
you know it's not done. I feel like I ran a marathon. My body is bruised and sore, and I have to go home and bend over and clean 100 pieces of sheet metal.
Can you do me a favor? Will you please never buy a boat?
Oh, that sounds fun. Why? Because I'm going to wear all this and just jump in and drown myself?
No, just because it's going to cause you pain and you'll have to clean it and it's never going to work for you.
Yesterday was the big grand day, and I promise we won't keep bringing it up afterwards, but the eclipse happened.
Yep.
It was cloudy, like I predicted.
Yeah.
Like we were worried, but you know what? We had just a few little moments, not just a few, but quite a few of the clouds blowing by, of the sun and moon actually poking out. I don't know about y'all, but it was a pretty good eclipse.
I didn't see any of the eclipse.
Same.
Behind the cloud the whole time.
Got dark, I actually was like, this is a great time to take a nap. And I did.
See,
it was the best nap I ever had, actually, thanks to the eclipse,
I think. Yeah, cloudy and saw nothing. It was a bit of a bummer because the clouds broke up just long enough for me to understand what was happening, and it was like 3, 4, 5 minutes before the totality that deep, dark cloud cover moved in and missed it all.
Well, how often in life with things does something get hyped up and not, the result's not worth it, and you almost feel frustrated you got hyped about it and that it was talked about for so long,
I was worried I'd feel a little bit of FOMO, but I just saw enough pictures from my family, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well,
Seeing it change to something dark and knowing what the reason was kind of cool enough. I couldn't see it from where I was at.
Well, I'm going to say, because we were more northern, like, Leander part of Austin, like, very tip of Austin, still Wilco or in Wilco. I'm going to say, the clouds were sporadic enough they burst out. My entire neighborhood must have taken the week off, the day off. our neighbors who are in Airbnb, there were like 15 people from Colorado staying there.
Oh, cool.
We're all in the backyard. And I must say, like, when totality happened, because we kept watching, it kept getting darker. And, you know, the clouds passing over, it made it dark, too. So we kept being like, oh, this is it. When it happened, and not only did, like, all the birds who were chirping before because they thought it was evening, it got silent, it stopped. Everyone in the neighborhood cheered, so you could hear it like a sports stadium. But it got dark to the point to where my lights came on outside.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like, it shocked me of what had happened. Like, it actually, it paid off.
Nice.
Like, okay. The hype, to me, was so well worth it because it was dark. And it was 90 seconds of, more than that, it felt like, of all of us looking at each other and be like, this is nuts, right? This is, like, how is it this dark? And it was an eerie, spooky, like, weird dark. And I had been hyped up for a year about this eclipse. I'm like, this is not going to be that great, whatever. We even thought about going to the Vampire Weekend concert, or I thought about taking the kids that were staying with us and family up to work. And I was like, ah.
Well, dude.
I don't want to miss it.
We even talked in here like a week or two ago, like, why aren't we excited for this eclipse, you know? And
we were more excited about Santa Barbacha coming up here.
Work, yeah.
But I'm going to say.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, and y'all know what a cynical asshat I am.
Oh,
and all I was thinking about were the Photoshops and videos and dumb, mean things I could post online to make fun of people excited about it. And damn it, it was so cool. Like,
wait,
I even,
did you have a moment where, did you have a
moment, real human boy moment?
Did your Grinch heart grow five times the size?
Because of an eclipse.
Yeah.
Because of what's supposed to be a dark,
that's
spooky
right.
occurrence.
It's
actually
took a cosmic experience for, dude, you to grow up a little and
yes.
be happy.
Yesterday was great. It was rad. Like, I even made a video at the CJ Morgan, if you want to see, where I edited the footage from my outdoor cameras, my Ring cameras, because it looked so cool and shit. Like, it was nuts. I even was upset afterwards because I was making a playlist of, you know, moon, sun, eclipse music, that I was like, man, I wish I'd paid, and I was trying to FaceTime my sister. I wish I'd paid more attention during the totality. Like, when it went away, and that, like, even when it barely moved and the sun came out, it was such a shocking change from how dark it was, again, being cloudy, that I really got sad that the eclipse is over.
It was interesting, like, we were talking about, my wife and I were like, if you were to reach back in a time, if you were the person brave enough to then scream at the moon, so you would have had a wise person, you know, some kind of medicine person in your group, wherever you were, right? And they would have been like, I don't know what's happening, in some kind of weird panic. But if you were the one person who just screamed, I demand the sun return, and then the sun returned, they'd be like, oh, man. You're our new king, for sure.
You rule. Well,
for sure. And all you had to do was just in panic, just start screaming, and because that's because you were the fighter and not the flighter. That's
it.
Yeah.
And suddenly the riches were all yours. All the pineapple you could eat.
Well, what's funny is there were some ancient societies that could track celestial events and eclipses. It'd be great if, like, you know how I've talked about how in the past, like, if we have friends over watching the Super Bowl, we're streaming it, but in another room I have it on cable, so I'm like a minute ahead. So going back to the eclipse, I would know what was going to happen. And it'd be like, oh, it's going to cover the moon, but don't worry, I'll make it come back out. You know, I'm going to go back in time and just, I'm going to enjoy more eclipses. I told my lover, I was like, hey, we should travel the world seeing eclipses now.
There you go.
This is rad. Let's do it. You find the house, the apartment of your dreams, and it's time to sign the leasing paperwork. Or maybe you're going to buy it, but you know what? There's a deal breaker. There's something that absolutely ruins it all. What would that be?
The internet has never been so easy.
Yeah. Welcome to the internet, where we talk about the trends, the topics, the viral clips, and that's something that I saw on Reddit this weekend that I discussed with some friends. What is your deal breaker? If you find the home of your dreams, but you're not going to buy it, what is something that would absolutely keep you from doing so? I wanted to discuss a few of ours after talking about some of them online. I couldn't think of one. I was like, you know me, Matt, if I see something I like or want, I will bend corners and do mental gymnastics to convince myself. But then it hit me. Cat lady hoarder house. A hoarder house or a cat house I could not buy. Even if it was renovated, like the cat ladies famously in the radio station neighborhood, sold that house for $750,000, even though they had to live in their car in the driveway. Couldn't do it. That is my number one.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Do you have anything to where if you found the home of your dreams?
Homeowners Association.
Oh, God.
That's a close for me.
That's a good one.
But can't do
it. I would still apply
and join the Homeowners Association.
Of my family, I think, is furious because they're like, how can you live in a... Because they want organization in their neighborhood, but I don't want to be subjected to the organization that's required. It's like, I own my land. I own my house. I don't like being told then what to do. Well, I do have a couple of houses in my neighborhood that are not sightly, and I wish we didn't have them, but that's part of the price of freedom, my friend.
Yeah. Who cares?
Well,
also,
CJ, you like making rules. I figure you would join an HOA and then try to help implement policy.
No, I hate HOAs because, I enjoy making rules, but also, remember me, I'm always fighting losingly against the government. If just a quick example, the time I got towed when I was in college, so the next day I parked in the chief of police's parking spot and turned my wheel all the way and got towed. Like, I fight toll booth ticket. I fight against it, but could you imagine if I lived in an HOA that I already believe is a fake form of enforce? Like, who gives them legal power? How can they find me? Could you imagine the fights I would have?
You can lose your house to an HOA. You literally can lose your house to an HOA.
What makes them legal?
Because it's a deed restriction. I mean, it's literally how it works. When you're buying it, you are signing a legal document.
I would burn them.
Yeah. You know that nothing will really chase me out of a house. You remember my first house, I bought it. It had no toilets in it. And it had no wiring in the house. So it's not like there are things that will chase me away. In fact, I love a house that is under duress and stressed because it saves me money.
It's got the patina. It's got, and it saves money.
I love a deal, and I love to be able to eventually make some money off
of it. I've never not had roommates, so I'll say maybe that, like an apartment. I've thought about getting an apartment or something by myself that I could afford, but I was like, nah, man, I want a yard. That's my deal breaker. I got to have a nice space.
Well, you got two doggos you got to take care of out there in the yard, you know?
Absolutely. Matt, anything else we're talking about? Like, you find the home of your dreams, the house you love, but what's your...
This is just kind of crass, and I'm sorry to say this because it's going to make me look bad, but... That honey oak from the late 80s and all through the 90s, you know what I'm talking about? The honey oak that's used for the trim and the door trim and the cabinetry.
Dude.
It haunts me for some reason. I know you can paint over it, but when I see it in a house, I guess because those are some of the worst years of my life or something, but it brings back terrible memories. I can't do it.
See, I could because I don't know if you've ever been to that house, Matt, but my buddy and I had a place up off... Big Walnut Creek, and it was basically a four-story house. It was like terraced into a hill. It had a creek, but it was the coolest house. It looked like a river house or a Colorado ski lodge, but everything on the inside was white appliances and that honey oak cabinets, honey oak trim, honey oak stair. Like, it's so ugly and gross. And it made me so mad.
I know.
And I felt
so
embarrassed having people over.
So much honey oak.
But that the house itself was so cool. I got another one. This, I didn't realize until we bought our most recent house, was almost a deal breaker for me. Only house, carpet. I don't like carpet.
Yeah, it's not the greatest.
It's not. And again, having dogs... But you have carpet, you realize...
Well, it holds on to all the odors you let out.
Once you have it, you realize, like, oh, it's kind of nice walking around barefoot. Warmer in here.
Get a rug.
It's nicer up here. Spinny, do you have any, like, if you found a perfect house? Because I've looked at so many rental properties and homes over the years that...
That is so far outside of my price range and just my lifestyle, I think. I don't know if I'll ever have a place to live. But if it had a giant hole in the floor or something, probably. I wouldn't want to live there.
Just
be worried about falling into
it. A demon portal?
Yeah, just a sinkhole.
I didn't know. So Spencer will
not
just...
Not enough room.
Just barely avoid flop houses. I've always told my lover that I want, and we'll explain why I'm calling her that coming up, that I want trapdoors, secret passages, mazes. Like, I always want that kind of stuff. Yeah. And she's like, it's tacky.
A painting you can, like, replace the eyes.
Eyes
and, like,
with? Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah,
that's
a safe
great.
In the wall.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
Great news, kind of, for all of you potheads out there. A surprising new study has found out that adults 45 and older, they have a lower risk of cognitive decline if they're smoking the weed.
Oh, because they've probably smoked it their whole life and you can't get any dumber.
Well, you're almost jumping where I'm heading there. There's a new study conducted by the researchers of SUNY Upstate Medical University. And they went through all these people. You have something called cognitive decline. I mean, you know, you start to notice like, oh, I'm forgetting things, or I'm confused, or my mornings aren't as good, or I'm irritable. Oh, wow. And those can sometimes be symptoms.
That's how I feel today.
I'm going to say all that happens on weed.
all that starts to happen, and it's usually an indicator that you could be heading into Alzheimer's or just sort of a general mental decline.
Senility, perhaps.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word senility.
Oh, no.
Which is probably a bad sign for me,
that's
isn't
Matt
it?
Here.
Now, what happened is...
Trying to get you some weed, man.
They found out that people who were using non-medical grade marijuana had a whopping 96% lower... had 96% lower odds of reporting SCD. And that's when I said, SCD, what's that? And so I went to go do a little research. SCD is something called subjective cognitive decline. Do you know what subjective... think of the word subjective.
Yeah, so you pick it or choose it.
That's their opinion, I guess, of their cognitive decline?
There you go. Okay. There you go. And that's where I think you kind of hit on something here, CJ, whether you meant to or not.
Yeah, you...
It's self-reported cognitive decline.
No, I'm good. I'm actually smart. I've discovered how the world really works.
Yeah, man. I'm better at video games, too, when I smoke.
I am. I can actually drive better than
you're
when I'm drunk.
You're using stereotypes about potheads, and which is kind of silly.
The eclipse
because,
was a chemtrail.
Yeah, except I know that both of you guys know people who smoke weed regularly.
Yeah, and
that's not how they
the
talk.
Crap
and
out of
that's
us.
Not how they talk, and that's not how they act whatsoever. We have people in this building who smoke weed every day and get work done, and you wouldn't necessarily know about it. But guess what? They're the same kind of people who regularly probably can't find their keys in their house or sometimes are like, oh, why did I walk into this room? Now, they've been doing that for a long time because they've been on weed. So the self-reporting part, they wouldn't necessarily notice any kind of difference.
It's because their tolerance is so high in their older age now that they don't do as dumb a mistakes as they do when they're high.
No, you're confusing it. I'm saying they're so used to already kind of doing the things that for some people who were sober their whole life would suddenly seem out of the normal.
That it's not
like,
a big deal.
I can't find my keys, or why did I walk into this room?
So they're just status quo.
Rather than
going down, they've always been on a low plateau.
Yeah. Well, remember this. This is only a 96% lower risk of SCD, which is the subjective cognitive decline. It's not a lower chance of cognitive decline in general. Anyway, I started to see this and I got really excited because I was like, oh, maybe there's some real positives. There are some studies that suggest that maybe THC can be good for our brain and our mental alertness later into life. But as far as this new study goes, when you start to break down what it's actually looking at, it doesn't have me completely convinced.
Can I just say also that, you know, I've been crapping on potheads here, you marijuana addicts, you reefer freaks, but I got to say with technology and modernity, the fact that you can walk into someone who smokes, as people get older, maybe even have kids, you see a lot more like high concentrated vape devices and stuff. You get like a high dose of marijuana, of THC, and then it kind of fades a lot faster. Stuff gets a lot easier and better. And what I also like about it, about us mature, older marijuana consumers,
okay,
you're not walking into every goddamn friend of mine that smokes weed. You walk in their house and their coffee table has a bong. It has a grinder. It has shake on the table. It has a torch for their wax and dab, and it's just gross.
Where else are you going to keep that, by the way?
You put it away when you're done with it.
I think
you don't
part
leave
of it,
all that stuff out, and then your house just stinks. And also, like, why do I have to stay and hang out? Like, I just bought weed. I want to leave. I don't want to hang out with you, your weird animals, your dog named Marley, your
CJ.
Blankets for sheets, and your roommate that looks like Gary Oldman from True Love
That Will
Murder Me.
You
don't seem to understand part of the text when you get good weed.
But also, it sounds like... I know a
it
lot
It sounds
of,
like I hang out with losers. Who sells weed professionally, regularly, still to this day that's not a loser?
I hang out with a lot of friends who have multi-million dollar homes who also smoke a lot of weed. But they're kids, so I guess they have to hide it, and you don't see any of that. You see very clean houses. So
okay, Barack Obama.
Well,
whoa, now.
I will say this. In doing the research about this, do your own research.
They say that a lot, something. Too.
How many states... there are only 12 states in the entire union that don't have any kind of weed legal, and we happen to be one of them.
Did you know?
Whoa!
We promise facts, we promise information, we promise truth. This one kind of excited me because the photograph in itself is amazing, but it's combining old school and modern. I mean, imagine launching a satellite into space. You have your very own rocket program, but all the infrastructure involves donkeys and oxen and carts. That's what happened in 1981. Did you know India launched a satellite into outer space that was transported on an ox cart with rocket parts carried on the back of bicycles?
Whoa.
It's so great. It's so old school.
I love that.
And all these dudes... in the picture are dressed like they're going to a discotheque. So it's just kind of fun, but I love seeing, like, look at, you know how satellites, do you see all the gold foil on it? And it is literally in an ox cart just threw together. That just makes me smile because it's like, man, that's, you know, it's you're doing the most modern thing ever, but you're using some good old-fashioned ox muscle.
Cut costs, save a little money, you know, use some of the ox
That
carts.
Too.
Did you know? You've heard of Lincoln, Nebraska. It was actually named after Abraham Lincoln, but not to honor him. Ooh. Yep, that's right.
Because they knew Nebraska sucks.
No, people in Nebraska, remember, Nebraska wasn't a state during the Civil War, but the people of Nebraska, highly sympathetic to the Confederate cause, meaning they wanted to have slaves. So they named the big, new, cool, modern city Lincoln, knowing that the legislature would not move the capital out of Omaha to the big, new, fancy city named after President Lincoln. It was done...
as a dunk.
As a dunk. They figured, well, we all hate Lincoln. Boo.
Well, you do remember the Kansas-Nebraska Act, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sure,
it's
me too.
One of my favorites, actually. Did you know? Bear with me, boys. This one's called Poop War. Did you know Spain started a war with Peru and Chile in 1864 by taking over an island for its strategic source
of guano?
Bat poop,
yeah.
Which at that time was a very important ingredient for gunpowder.
You know, the Poop War makes me think about every day when I wake up.
I don't know, man. We fought a lot of wars over a bunch of important things, but the fact that in some point in history we fought a war, or not maybe we, but collectively some humans fought a war about poo-poo.
Yeah, I remember one of our bonus questions on a history test in high school was like, name a war that wasn't fought. I guess resources count, and this is a resource, but over religion, territory, or resource, but it would have been fun to talk about the famous poop war. Unfortunately, we didn't have as good an internet back then.
Well, it's called guano. It's more mature. Shut up. It's bat poop, all right?
And do you remember how as a young man we probably all learned about guano, about bat poop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess
so. And how expensive and famous and why it was worth so much?
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. When nature calls.
Yeah, that's where we learned guano was...
I remember thinking guano was something special, like a because bats make it, and someone's like, no, that's just regular old poop. It's anything could be called guano. It's poop. It's a name for poop.
But there's just so much of it that they can use it for... it's high. You know, I don't know enough, and this segment's not called like, yeah, I think you can... It's this segment's called...
Did you know?
Speaking of... trash in this case. Did you know there's a community in Cairo that collects the trash of the residents and recycles upwards to 80% of it? It's called Garbage City. It's mostly Christian residents, and they collect, they recycle, they stack, and they build decades worth of trash and recycling. I don't know what they do with it. It doesn't say if they actually use it as part of the infrastructure and walls in the city itself. It doesn't say if they sell the material off. They just hoard it.
Oh, okay. There you go. Shoot.
All right. I got one last good one for you. Hey, give us one.
Did you know Isaac Newton, you know his name, he's the guy that invented Fig Newtons?
Yeah.
He set out the colors of the rainbow that we memorized today, the Roy G. Biv. He came up with that. However, he didn't originally include orange or indigo. He added them later because he was really into the occult, and he believed that there had to be seven separate colors because just like there were seven separate notes in 7 days of the week, he really liked the number, and he was into numerology.
So he came up with seven colors
in the rainbow.
that's pretty high. You know what? It's only three sevens, though.
It could have come up with more. Seven sevens, you know?
This is more appropriate. Speaking of seven, call the sevens if you're in trouble. 777. This is more for our internet segment, which is coming up soon. But one of my favorite memes is Isaac Newton looking into the crystal, discovering like the colors of the spectrum. And it says, plague raging in Europe. Meanwhile, and then it has quotes and says, ha ha, Pink Floyd. It's just, I love dumb stuff like that.
At CJ Morgan Show, follow us online because the most important thing about radio is the internet.